from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mr. Sal Capaccio back here at St. John Fisher after the Bills took yesterday off. I'm always a little cautious on the Bills took the day off versus we weren't here. Sometimes they have walkthroughs or corporate events, but they had the day off.
I'm sure a lot of golf as well.
Yes, a lot of golf.
That's a day where I'm sure a bunch of players either got over to Oak Hill or CCR. I mean, I don't know anything specific, but usually that's a day where to kind of unwind a little bit and do something like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, welcome back. It's as beautiful as when we left. It's been really nice pretty much the whole time.
And, I mean, we still have today. And then Sunday is an 11:45 start. Now, obviously, tomorrow night's at Orchard Park. Sunday, 11:45 a.m. start. It's the only non-9:45 a.m. start. Then Monday, 9:45, but that is no fans. That's just close to the fans. I think there's going to be some corporate. There's media. Then back on Wednesday, Thursday. So you still have after today.
Yeah.
So there's five, including today, still here at Fisher until you get through next Thursday.
Hall of Fame game tonight. Quick note on that. I was checking for, again, I don't necessarily encourage anyone to bet on it, but I wanted to know, and I think it's noteworthy. The over-under in this game is 31.5, which is an unbelievably low number for an NFL game. Of course, it's a preseason game, and it's Tyson Bagent and Davis Mills. Sal, football's back. Texans-Bears, you excited?
Yeah, I might lean over early in preseason just because of the kickoffs.
That's right.
Yeah,
I might lean over just because you might get a kickoff return in any game at any given moment.
I can't believe I forgot until right now. That's the reason to watch tonight.
Listening to you guys in. I'm like, wait a minute, Jeremy. You got to dial in early to see this kickoff.
Forgot. Yep, absolutely have to make sure we see the kickoffs.
Got to get there on time.
Yeah. Buck and Aikman, it's on ABC and ESPN tonight, the Hall of Fame game.
I mean, especially 31.5 over-under. If you miss the start of the game, you might be waiting till halftime.
That's right. Not a lot of kicks.
Who knows?
Okay. Sal, we're back. When we last left, we didn't have a chance to talk to you about this. We talked about this with Matt Bove yesterday. Von Miller had a big day earlier this week, right? Looking good. It was pass rushing drills, so... You know, third and sevens, they're practicing third and longs. I read your article on our website. A lot of opportunities for pass rush, but the good news is that Von looked the part, and perhaps the most ringing endorsement of all was Deion Dawkins saying the aura is back. I mean, for Dawkins to say that, I think says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's third and seven. He's going to be on the field in those situations. He's also fresh. He didn't practice the day before when they're doing first and second down stuff, right? So he comes out fresh where first day of pads, you know, everybody's maybe tiny bit, a little bit dragging. So he has, to me, a bit of an advantage. However, he still has to get there. He still has to have the explosion. He still has to have the burst. He is still going against Spencer Brown or Deion Dawkins. And guess what? Early on, goes around Spencer Brown. They have to blow the play dead because he gets close to Josh Allen. Of course, you're not going to let him touch him. A little bit later, Spencer does a nice job to keep Von wide. But what I liked was Von just stayed with it, and it was that classic quarterback rushes, flushes out to the right, and Von's right there to chase him down maybe, right? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Josh is a good athlete. Maybe he doesn't actually get to him. But that was a really nice sign for me. I really like what I saw from Von Miller. Now he has to build on that. I don't think we're going to be able to tell much from Von Miller in preseason. I can't imagine him playing too many snaps in preseason. They probably give him a few pass rush situations, if at all, if he plays at all, if he dresses at all. This is going to have to happen in the regular season. We're going to have to see this in the regular season.
What's the tone of the coaching staff about it? Because I ask that because, you know, we're watching Milano come back from an injury. McDermott said, long way to go. For me, that, okay, I'm going to keep that in mind throughout. What are they saying about Von right now?
You know, it goes back to April, May. Asking Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, there were no limitations on Von. Like, he's here. He's working hard. It almost seems like they're thinking, hey, he's over that now. We're almost 2 years removed. He was able to come back last year, and although it didn't go great for everybody, we all know that, I think that it feels to me like there's been no talk of this is a guy recovering from an injury anymore. He's recovered. Now it's about, can he get back to what he was before now that we're almost 2 years removed from this? With Milano, the last time we saw him on the field, he got hurt. That's not the case with Von.
Yeah.
Von's been on the field for 12 games since then.
Potentially some of the mental side of it would be over.
That's right. Now with Von, I would never worry about the mental side. He's such a positive thinker. But what's he been saying? I probably shouldn't have played last year. Okay, well, let's flush that out. That's you, that's the trainers, that's the coaches, that's front office, everybody being positive, him working hard, he's such a great athlete. He goes out there, he doesn't perform, you look back and say maybe it just wasn't totally right, and we just didn't, because of everything going on, we just didn't get to that point where we thought we would be. Now that's different, I think. Now to me, it's more about age and speed and burst than it is about injury. I'll be honest with you, like, I don't think about the injury for Von anymore. Like, okay, he's removed from it. And yeah, sure, the other stuff is impacted by the injury, but to me, he's not recovering from injury anymore. To me, it's just more about where he is in the timeline of his NFL career and life.
What does the rest of that room look like at camp so far?
The guy that everybody should be paying attention to is Dwayne Smoot. Dwayne Smoot was brought on as a free agent, Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been in the league since 2017. For four straight years, he had at least five sacks. Didn't have many numbers last year. I think he missed some games last year. But guys, he's on the first unit a lot. He's outside. He's inside. He's just doing a lot of things. To me, he's your fifth kind of defensive end, defensive tackle. The Bills like to have nine defensive linemen because then you can keep four ends, four tackles, and one that can kind of be a swing guy. That's the swing guy to me. That's the guy that you can kick him inside, you can kick him outside. Because Greg Rousseau is going to be Greg Rousseau, and he looks really, really good against the run, and he's passed. I think Greg Rousseau's had an excellent camp, right? I think he's kind of evolved into this really solid player. I think A.J. Epinesa, he's going to be what he is at this point in his career. I think he's still an ascending player. I've said that a lot, meaning that there's still probably more to get out of him, but what's his ceiling really, right? To me, Greg Rousseau's ceiling is higher, but Epinesa still represents a nice floor. You're going to be okay right there, right? Now you go to, after Von, A.J., Greg Rousseau, what's next? To me, it's Dwayne Smoot. Then if you're going to keep him as that fifth guy, there's a good battle going on. I like what Kingsley Jonathan, our Syracuse guy, has done so far in this camp. He's physical. He takes nothing. Like he takes no plays off, and he knows he's fighting every single play for meals, right? I mean, like, this guy's fighting for an NFL job, as he has for the last 3 years. They signed Casey Tuhill in the offseason. So I think that the overall group has a nice floor, Joe. We just have to get the ceiling. Who's the ceiling coming from? Is that coming from Von? Can Dwayne Smoot recapture? Can he be a six-sack guy again like he was in Jacksonville? Like, that'd be nice. Then, you know, that would be maybe his ceiling, but that would be nice for him. So that's what it looks like to me.
Sitting down with Sal Capaccio here at St. John Fisher, coverage of Bills training camp. Presented by Edmar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel Car and Choice, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. The Bills made a roster move since we've last been here. Let's get to, because I think the conversation is quicker, the punting battle is over. They cut Jack Browning.
Well, this version of it is over.
Okay, so they cut Jack Browning and make room for Terrell Burgess. So let's get to the punting side of it. Sam yeah. Martin, for now, safe.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I've been pumping up Jack Browning a little bit. I even brought Tasker over, and we were watching them, and I said, watch the difference between Sam Martin and Jack Browning. There was a lot of praise about Jack Browning's catch-to-release time and all that. He was very good at it. However, as I'm watching it, I look at Tasker, I go, but I don't know if he can do that. And Sam Martin just kind of pinned it right inside the five. That's Sam Martin's specialty, right? He's been in the league a long time. Listen, the reason I say that version of the punting competition is over, Jeremy, would any of us be stunned if at some point in the preseason, waivers, all of a sudden, there's a new punter that comes in as well, and hey, Sam Martin's just not the guy. I mean, they've had a kind of a revolving door there for the last several years with Matt Hawk coming in and different guys, right? So I think, yes, for now, Sam Martin's the guy. Would I give you 100% lock that Sam Martin's the punter on this team? No. I would tell you that about Tyler Bass. Tyler Bass is the kicker on this team. They're not moving on from him. He's a young guy. He's got a great leg. There's financial reasons involved. Yes, he had a down year last year. They're not moving on from Tyler Bass. I'm not here to tell you they are. They aren't from Sam Martin. I'm just saying that he's won this portion of the competition. Let's see if they bring anyone else back in.
With Bass, I mean, if anybody's listening wondering, how does he look? Is there anything to tell he looks like Tyler Bass? He just, like, what could you even really pull out of how he is taking last year? Is there any sort of thing he notices in his game? I mean, I always think about kickers like golfers. Like, oh, I started to do this a little bit. Did he identify anything on film? Like, what will Bass do anything differently? Or is it just like, sometimes that happens?
No, I think that's more of a, hey, I have to be better. You know, the snap is good. The hold is good. I have to be able to hit my landmarks better. I have to be able to hit the kick better. You know, he's talked since what happened in Kansas City. He talked after the game. He took accountability. I don't think there's anything with that. Let's remember, the Bills really care about the operation. They care about the snap. They care about the hold. Sam Martin now, obviously the holder. Jack Browning was the holder the other day. I noted it. I said notable that Jack Browning was the holder for Tyler Bass during his field goal work the other day. Tyler Bass went 5 of 6. He missed one. I think it was 48 yards. Unfortunately, it was wide to the right. You know, I mean, and obviously people are going to talk about that. But he's, to me, I think, if I remember right, he's now 10 of 11, but there's no rush or anything like that. Jeremy, I think it just comes down to Tyler Bass needing to be better himself internally, and he's a golfer. Tyler Bass plays golf. We've used this a lot, this analogy, right? I mean, it happens sometimes. You just have to get back to what you trust in your work and preparation.
Before we get to the offense, before we get to what's happening on the field, Sal, Alec Anderson hospitalized at last practice. The last I had seen was that he was expected to be released from the hospital later that day. I didn't see an update. Maybe I missed it, though.
No, there hasn't been an update yet from the team. I'm hoping we will get one this morning from the Buffalo Bills on Alec Anderson. Yeah, real tough situation. You know, it's amazing. We talked about what happened 20-something years ago with Corey Stringer and how the advances in technology, the advances in medical science, the understanding of the human body, the training that goes into keeping these guys as safe and as healthy as possible. We also talked about sometimes you do still have situations that are very scary. This is a very scary situation. Alec Anderson had heat-related illness, and he was taken to the hospital in an ambulance after practice. There was an update after that, maybe an hour and a half or so after that, that said, for the Bills, he was expected to be released. He had talked on the phone with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. He was in good spirits. Because the team was off yesterday, we did not get an update on Alec Anderson. Hopefully, we'll get one early this morning on Alec Anderson. I'm sure, you know, the Bills will be, you know, giving something out, and we'll see if he's here or not today and keep everybody updated. Scary situation. Hopefully, looks like, thankfully, Alec Anderson should be, you know, okay in that regard.
Mike, we're going to get to your call after one quick question, because I got to finish the part about the punter being cut. The Bills brought in another safety, which,
yes,
you know, I know anytime a safety signs, that's going to lead to Micah Hyde questions, but Terrell Burgess comes in because I guess the injuries in the secondary, they must be at least somewhat concerned about
100%.
Both Cole Bishop, who had his arm wrapped. We get an update on him today, maybe.
Maybe we will.
And Mike Edwards week to week with a hamstring.
Mike Edwards probably isn't coming back. It's week to week. It's only been a few days, right? So probably not coming back with a hamstring injury anytime soon. Let's see, whatever that means, whatever, you know, however you want to take that. So they wound up signing Kareem Jackson, obviously, the other day, who came in. I mistakenly said he played for the Bucks. He didn't. He played for the Texans and the Broncos. But I have to remember, and I'm trying to think if there's crossover in the systems. One of the things that, you know, fans sometimes, oh, my God, these washed-up veterans. Look, you're not going to get some spring 23-year-old on a rookie contract that's been an all-pro to come in at this time of year. Teams have 90 players on their roster. I mean, you got to wait till guys get released. Guys get waived, right? So what do? You bring in veterans who are keeping themselves healthy. They've been around different systems. They can adapt to different environments. That's why a guy like Kareem Jackson comes in. In this case, though, you are getting a younger player. 25 years old, Terrell Burgess, former third-round pick just 4 years ago, right? So maybe that's a guy where maybe it didn't hit with the teams he's been on, including the Rams. He's been a couple stops since then. You know, we'll see what can happen. However, to me, still, this is the back end of the group, just to give you some players to be able to play, to go out there, get some reps. You can't put everything on these safeties they only have in there. They got to play preseason games. What does it mean for Cole Bishop? I'm not sure. That's the key update we're waiting on today. Cole Bishop, he left practice early with trainers. After practice, our buddy Josh Reed of WIVB Channel 4 tweeted that he saw him with his arm heavily wrapped. I did not see him. Josh did, but he tweeted he saw that. I don't know what that means. Arm heavily wrapped. Where is it wrapped? What's the situation? Hopefully we'll get more clarity today.
803-0550. You can ask a question if you'd like of Sal. And it looks like it's going to – oh, our call screener just went down here. We'll get it right back. Mike in Connecticut is going to jump on the line with us here from St. John Fisher as he has a question about the wide receiver.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Keeper competition. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Excellent. Thank you.
I have two quick questions for you. So my first question will be about the wide receiver battle. So just from, you know, all the content that I've seen, there has been some buzz around Tyrell Shavers. And I just want to talk about that competition a little bit, because when we saw a similar player sort of in that role, when you go back a few years to Isaiah Hodgins, the question was, can he produce on special teams? So my first question is, out of the guys that are fighting for this spot, you know, Justin Shorter, Tyrell Shavers, even Chase Claypool with the kind of little injury he's got going on, and KJ Hamler, who do you think has the most upside on special teams? Obviously, that could be KJ Hamler from a returning aspect.
Yeah.
My second question, specifically for Sal, is you brought up a good point about Dwayne Smoot. And I do remember that magic number has kind of been 9 over the last several years, looking at that defensive front. So with that being said, who do you think is the odd defensive tackle out or edge? Although I think if Dwayne Smoot's kind of that swing tackle edge, I don't know if that's Deshaun Williams. Is that Austin Johnson? I just kind of want to hear your thoughts, who you think that player could be who's on the out.
Yeah, it's a great question. Let me address that one first, and I'll go back to the wide receivers. I didn't mention Javon Solomon at defensive end. All right. What do you do with him? do you put him on waivers, a fifth-round pick who you like as a pass rusher you drafted to put up big numbers in college? Like, do you expose him to waivers? You might have to keep him. Maybe that's your fourth defensive end if Dwayne Smoot counts as kind of a tweener guy, right? I don't really know. And the interior, it's also a really good question. I mean, I thought Austin Johnson would be on this team. But, I mean, if Dwayne Smoot, I mean, Deshaun Williams, they're all guys that are kind of in this mix right here. They can keep 10, by the way. It doesn't mean they have to only keep 9.
I mean, it's part of the defensive tackle position sometimes. But I feel like today is the first time I've heard Austin Johnson's name.
Right. Right.
At least since they signed him.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, he was signed as a free agent in the offseason. I'm going to take a look at my cheat sheet here. My defensive tackle roster, Oliver Jones, Johnson, Williams. You got to keep Dwayne Carter. He's not going anywhere, right? That's a guy that doesn't come on. So you're probably looking at, I mean, man, one of those guys, Johnson, Williams. I think Deshaun Williams, I've seen him a little bit more than Johnson out there. Unfortunately, injuries do play a role, right? You get towards the end of camp and a preseason, someone's a little banged up. Hey, they're gonna have to make a move here. They put him on IR. Let's remember the rule this year. There's a different rule in the NFL. At the end of training camp, when they go to final cuts, you could take two people and put them on IR and return them in 4 weeks. It used to be they had to make the roster first, which is why you have that parking lot cut. Hey, we got to get this guy on the roster. We can't shelve him for the year. So Reed Ferguson, we're going to cut you, then come back. You don't have to do that this year. Two guys you get. You get two guys at cuts to say, you know what? We're going to put this guy on IR for 4 weeks. We don't have to keep him on the roster first, and then he can come back. You get to do that with two guys this year. Let's go to the wide receivers. Great question, Mike. Here's the answer to the question. It's not a cop-out. I have no idea how they're going to treat special teams. Mm. What do they want to do with special teams? They're not talking about guys who can run down. Isaiah Hodgins would have to run down the field and make tackles. He'd have to block guys running full steam at him.
Yep.
That's not the case anymore with a guy like Tyrell Shavers.
We talked about this with Steve Tasker. Like, teams don't even really know what the personnel will look like. You might have a team that puts out linebackers and fullbacks and offensive linemen, and another team that puts out speed guys. Because nobody knows how this is all going to go until tonight.
Well,
we'll see our first one.
That's at least kick return. But punt return, Sal, like, nothing's changed there. Like, in terms of who that player ends up being.
If it's on the actual return?
Yeah.
He brought up a good point. KJ Hamler's in the mix, right? So he wins that job.
Yeah.
Is that the only way he makes the team at this point? I'm not sure.
I've seen him get a couple first-team reps also with Allen. So I don't know how meaningful that is. But, right, like, for you, though, does that have to be part of it? Like, for Hamler, his path to making the team at receiver, like, he'd almost certainly have to win the punt return job?
Probably. And I don't know. Right now I'm thinking Daquan Hardy looks like he could be the guy that really, you know, has a really good shot here. He was a first name out of Matthew Smiley's mouth.
Okay.
I asked him who's in the punt return. He says, well, Day-Day's been back there. He called him Day-Day, so everybody's aware. He called him Day-Day. He said, Day-Day's been back there. We got KJ Hamler. You know, Ty Johnson can do it, I think. Well, actually, Ty Johnson's more kick return, but there was
Isabella's
a couple guys.
Isabella's done it in the past.
Yeah, Isabella. Andy Isabella's the other guy he's talked about. That's a good question. So, Mike, I don't know how to answer your question other than it really depends on what they think that role is for the wide receiver that they keep or anybody else on special teams and how they construct the roster.
All right. So, Capaccio, get another call in here from Ray, and then I'll go back to those receivers for a question. But Ray's called in. Hey, Ray, you're on the Sal.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking our calls for this. Back to Tyler Bass. Did you notice if he was doing more work on the left hash for kicking? Because I know that was a big thing with him out of college, and that was the, you know, the field goal he missed in the Kansas City game from the left hash. They said it's not his strong.
No, not necessarily. Listen, let me explain how practice goes. When we are watching the main practice, the specialists are usually on the other field, which is the turf field they don't practice on, and they're working on a lot of different things. They're working on different snaps. They're working on, you know, kicks from different spots. When they go to actually kick, the coaches put it on different hashes. It's not Tyler Bass working on something. It's we're putting it left or we're putting it right. And I really haven't seen anything necessarily that they've done differently, one way or the other. Maybe I'll start paying attention to see if they do that for him. But that's generally just a coach's call where they're putting the ball.
Okay, thanks.
You got
it. All right, thanks, Ray. 803-0550. Still time for you to pop in on a question with Sal here as we chat from St. John Fisher. Shavers, man, it's not quite Tyrell Shavers' camp, Sal, but he's getting a lot of run.
He is.
He's getting a lot of run, a lot of chatter, whether it's teammates. The Bills had a social media post about him, like, learn about Tyrell Shavers. And I wanted to ask, I thought of this question on the way up here, on the drive up, and I don't mean it to mean to be insulting to Keon Coleman. So I hope the question is comes across as intended. If you didn't know which was the second round pick, would you know? Like, has Shaver's been good enough to just blend in on a level where if that were the guy they picked in the second round, you would think, oh yeah, he looks like an NFL receiver? Or is it, or is there definitely a gap there? Like, what I'm trying to get at is, how good has he looked? Because he's getting so much run.
Versus how good has he looked based on what the expectation is.
Yeah, yeah, because when people come above expectation, they might get talked up a little bit more than they maybe deserve to.
You would not confuse who the second round pick is.
Okay, good.
And that's because Keon Coleman makes a highlight reel catch every day. That's not Tyrell Shavers. Tyrell Shavers is just on the field doing his job.
McDermott used the word consistent.
He is consistent. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Tyrell Shavers is on the field, does his job, makes catches, and you every time it happens, you're like, oh, there's Tyrell Shavers again. Oh, there's Tyrell Shavers again. When Keon Coleman makes a play sometimes, you're like, that's why you drafted Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the first pick of the second round and a guy that was on the practice squad all year who went to three different colleges who's now trying to make it in the NFL.
Right, right. Okay. I needed that hype check.
Yeah.
Because he's getting so much
it's
run.
Because if we thought of Tyrell Shavers as, let's say, MVS coming to camp, we wouldn't be talking about him now the way we are.
Right.
But nobody had him on their radar.
Right.
So now it's like, hey, this guy's he's just making plays all the time. Like, he's out there, he's consistent, just seems like he's in the right spot. It's just a nice, you know, what do you usually, those guys usually look different than Tyrell Shavers, by the way. Those guys usually look like the shorter slot guys. They're just available. They're making themselves open. This guy's tall. He's got length, right? Like, he fits into the receiver's room with the way they look, and he's also kind of doing the things, the little things that seem to matter.
Yeah. You know, you've been out there an awful lot. A guy that I think of, as you describe that, consistent, does his job every time. It's like, oh, yeah, there he is again. I'm getting that experience with Jamarcus Ingram, who you've liked a lot.
Yeah.
I've like, always talked about. I'm a Jamarcus Ingram truther.
Yeah.
I have for the last year and a half.
He's consistent.
I love Jamarcus Ingram at the NFL level. I think he fits in the NFL. He's an NFL body. He has NFL skill set. He's long. He can press. He can play safety. Has he been perfect? No. I've just been talking the guy up. I hope he makes the team so that I can go, thank you. I've been right about Jamarcus Ingram for a year and a half.
And then maybe with Cam Lewis too, UB can start being called like defensive back factory.
That's
out
right.
Out of college.
That's right. I agree with you. I think he's looked good, and he's getting opportunity too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's the depth at outside corner? I mean, he's really the fourth guy right now, to be honest with you. If you do a projected 53 without even seeing him, you might put him on the roster because you're like, who do they have behind him?
Sal, last for me, I asked this to Matt Bove yesterday, and he went to the safety room for this. Is there, maybe not even quite struggling, but is there someone to you that you'd like to see more from at camp? Someone that, like, between now and the end of camp, or even at the start of camp, hasn't looked as good as you thought and think, okay, they need to see more from that guy?
Hold on. Because he went to the safety room. I'm trying to think of who he said because I don't want
to
go there.
Well, he went to the injuries too, though, and like just basically more that someone has to step up.
My pick might be MVS. I really haven't seen much of him, and maybe that's because Shavers is kind of taking his reps. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He actually flashed a little bit the other day for the first time. Like, okay, there's MVS, right?
Yeah.
I want to see a little more from MVS. I haven't seen much of him. I'd say Chase Claypool. He just hasn't been available the last couple of days, right? But that's the guy I'm like, okay, like, everyone seemed to think, oh, he's on the roster. They picked him up. He's got these Super Bowls.
Yep.
He's a downfield threat. Maybe he is way more secure than I think. I just haven't seen a lot of him. I need to see a little bit more of him.
Is he on the field with Allen? Like, is he getting first-team reps?
Or a little bit.
Oh, just a little bit?
They rotate a lot of those guys.
Sure.
They're really giving those guys. Justin Shorter was getting first-team
reps. It's not as much as Hollins, though, right?
Correct. Matt Collins gets a lot.
Yeah.
Justin Shorter got first-team reps the other day.
Okay.
I mean, like, they're moving these guys in and out, right? I mean, so that would be the guy that I would choose.
803-0550. Thank you for the phone calls. Thank you for the update, Sal.
You got it.
We'll chat tomorrow. Practice 9:45. Sal here, ready to head out on the field and get things started. 9:45. When we get back, I have a tough question for you, for everybody out there,
for me specifically.
No,
or for
every Bills fan. You usually think of these questions, and it's a tough question. About what you would what would you rather get out of this year? And
know,
it's like one of those devilish, tough.
Oh, good.
How could
I
you?
Love a devilish
these
question.
Are both good things. These are both good things.
Okay.
I'm not sure what Bills fans want more, though. I'll get to the question when we get back.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.